Alaska X, mobile.
Morning, Patrick, W4DJW.
I was wondering if you were out there.
I'm out here every morning. It's just I got my head down. I don't raise my head up and look around, but I listen.
You get less sleep than I do.
Well, it's because I don't have to. If you have to, you have to. But if you don't have to, what difference does it make? Anyway, Shane plugged in that power supply last night. You want to know what happened?
I heard him on the radio, so I know it works.
I didn't know that at first, but I came by before I left to go to the airport to pick up my wife. And I heard him talking to somebody and thought, okay, that's got to be that radio. Or at least I was hoping it was. I pinged him and he said, yep, that was it.
It was just something simple.
Well, the downside of that now is he's got to figure out what's going on with that other power supply. Or just use it for light loads.
It was an old power supply, so it might be time to put it as the backup or retire it to, like you say, light loads.
Yeah, that other guy that I was reading up on had a power supply that was like that. I guess that's the way they used to do protection circuitry, is by voltage drop. But that makes them super, super sensitive.
Because when you turn something on, you're going to get a pretty big voltage drop.
Yeah, for a very, very brief moment of time, milliseconds, it's going to drop like that and then come right back. And depending on the trend, you know, your connections, how good your connections are, if there's any resistance in your connectors, you're going to get a lot of drop across that connection. That's what causes heat.
It's amazing how little resistance it takes to stop a circuit altogether.
Yeah, just some rust, some oxidation can do it all by itself. That's one of the big things with airplanes, with electric airplanes, is making sure you got really good, clean connections, good, strong solder joints, that kind of stuff, because they require a lot of current flow.
It's amazing to me. People come in and their car's complaining about it. It won't start. It won't crank. It's got all kinds of funny electrical issues, and you raise the hood and the battery's growing, and that's usually what it is. Just need a battery service. You need to take care of the vehicle.
Need to clean that post and put some stuff on there to quit it, make it stop corroding. Put some of that grease on there that protects it from oxygen and oxidation.
Now, some of them would get mad when you told them that and think you were just trying to lie to them about it. Well, no, I'm not. This is part of the process. One ohm of resistance will stop a starter from spinning.
Well, I didn't know that. That's something new I learned today. That's pretty cool. Well, I'm studying this manual on this 400 to try to learn how to do fusion. I put this off for about 10 years. I guess it's time to learn how to do fusion, huh?
Now, let me know, because I got it on my 991A. I've watched some videos on it and just haven't been able to figure it out yet. But I haven't really sat down and tried a whole lot either.
So if you're up on... because you go up to go home. Can you act like a repeater, and can we try fusion on simplex between the two of us? That would be kind of cool if we could figure out if this stuff works.
You can try it, but I'm not sure on that. Since I have a hard time getting in anyway, I can't hit simplex with anybody is my problem, because I got the mountain blocking me.
Well, I'll do a section of the Earth on Google Earth between us. Is your address on QRZ good?
It should be, but I can give it to you again real quick.
Let me pull it up and see if I got it on QRZ, and then you tell me. Hang on just a second. No, it's not any good there. It's just it just says Penrose, North Carolina. It doesn't have a street address.
It's 140 Paradise Cove Road.
Okay, I'm going to bring up Google Earth and see if it can find it. Yep, it found it. Now I'm going to do a section of the Earth to see if there's any dirt between us.
Surprised at how much dirt there is between us.
Oh, wow, you're further north than the repeater is.
The problems I have when I have so much trouble getting into the repeater is if you look at that, I'm in the valley, but I'm right up against the foot of the mountain where it starts to roll back up. And then the repeater is actually on the other side of the ridge from me.
Okay, I'm seeing the elevation profile, and you're right, there is a lot of dirt between us. You want me to send you a snapshot of this?
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah, there's no hope. You're at 2,600 feet. The first peak that you hit is 2,900 feet between us. The next peak is at the first peak is at 2,900, and it's 0.6 of a mile away. And then if you go out to 3 miles, it goes up to 3,200 feet between us, right? And you're down at 29, and I'm down at 1,000. And then there's many, many other peaks between us. At like 5 miles, you hit another 3,100 feet. And then at 7 miles, you hit one at another 3,100 feet. And then there's line of sight from that point on. So it's hopeless. That will not work.
I know. I've tried with Daniel, which he lives down in Taylor's, and there's no hope. I'd have to have a 400-foot tower outside to get any kind of thing like that going on.
Well, I'm taking a snapshot of it and sending it to you, so at least you got an idea of what it's like to get down here, what your radios are actually doing. Your radios are doing really good.
We just got a vertical antenna about, I don't know, it's on the roof, so it might be 20 feet off the ground at the base.
Okay, so it's the email that comes from me that says elevation profile. This is the one that you get a really good idea of why we can't talk simplex.
I didn't figure it was going to work. Like I said, I've tried before, and there's just too much earth in the way.
Well, if we got that prototype repeater up there that does linking, and we could link with another place like that place that Johnny's looking at Pinnacle Mountain, maybe you have better line of sight to Pinnacle than you do to Caesar's Head. Well, but that still wouldn't be. We still wouldn't be able to use fusion on that.
Better line of sight to Pinnacle. Actually, the mountain that I back up against, it runs along and ties into Pinnacle Mountain.
So Pinnacle would be, like you, to you, the same way Paris Mountain is to, for example, Simon, who lives on the other side of Paris Mountain from Caesar's Head at the base down there. So he's looking to get that linking done so that he can get into 8-2, which will carry him on over to 6-1.
That would help a lot of people. And then also you got that dead spot over there in Furman and all that you would take care of.
I didn't think about that, but you're right. Anything, well, and up there, well, around Furman, Furman's like off to the side of Paris Mountain, I think. Yeah. So you should be able to get in from Furman to Caesar's Head. Are you saying it's hard? There's some places over there where it's difficult to get in?
I'm by Furman on 25 where they got their solar panels, and I'm assuming that's what's interfering with it. And the repeaters are right off to your right coming north. You'll get real scratchy coming into the 610.
Okay. Yeah, there's a place in Charlotte that I used to go past back in the days when I could get into this repeater from not uptown Charlotte, but the outskirts of Charlotte, which is better than uptown. Uptown Charlotte is pretty easy to get into this repeater. But when you're not up there, because that city goes up, because that city's built on the top of a hill. If you go away from the city, you sink down and you can't get in. And I used to drive by these lights. And while I was talking to somebody on this repeater, every time I went under one of those lights, it got really, really fuzzy. And I came out from under the light, and it was clear as a bell. same kind of effect you're talking about.
And, that's 225 or 276 that's on, not 25, where the solar panels are on the front entrance there. But if you go over to Furman on 25, where the golf course is at, it's still, when you pass through there, it's real scratchy also.
And sometimes that's a leaky transformer or some lines that have some issues or something like that. And the power company usually really appreciates it if you point those out to them, they'll go out and fix them. We had a situation like that down in Woodruff, or going toward Woodruff with model airplanes. Every time you got over near this certain section, they just go herky-jerky. And we got them out there and showed that to them, and they went out with their sniffers, and they, sure enough, they found a really big electrical leak, and nobody's paying for that. That's money down the drain for them, so they like to find those things.
He's over there at Furman Golf Course, where the clubhouse is at. That's a pretty scratchy area for the 16 repair.
Yeah, if that gets to be a big problem, we can let them know. Eventually, they'll find out, because eventually they'll notice the loss. You know, they're pouring a lot of current in there, and they're not getting their money's worth, so they'll go hunting for a leak. But while it's still small, people can help them. That helps us all, unless they just turn that into profit. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. I'm going to go back over here to study in my manual. This manual's pretty thick. It's a big book. Got a lot to learn. KO4HKX, W4DJW.
Go ahead and learn it all up. That way you can do a presentation on it in the club. That way we all learn it. And then we'll all be good. KO4HKX, 73.
I'm going to learn enough to know how to say, yeah, it works, and then I'm done. Move on to the next thing. This is my second hobby. Airplanes are my primary. W4DJW. Okay, be safe out there.
X, 74, never give up.
KO4HKX.
Hey, Patrick, I don't guess you can write a phone number right now driving, can you?
No, sir, I can't. I'm fighting this wind as it is.
With you. Okay, well, we'll connect later. I'm trying to get out the door and go to work myself. The handle is Phil, Bowling Springs, and we'll talk to you later. W4, never give up.
D7J. Okay, Phil. Take care. Have a good day. Good morning, Bob.
Hey, Patrick. Phil, you still there?
Yes.
Okay, you're going to maybe get a, well, I'll send you an email or a text here. Watch for it in the next 5 minutes to 2 days, whenever I get a chance, but regarding contesting.
Appreciate it. I'll see you later, W4NGU.
Patrick. How are you doing this morning, Bob?
Better mornings, I'll just say that, but I'm not doing too bad.
Dear, whatever's happening, maybe it'll get better.
Better, just a couple things going on with my oldest son. Never ending, anyway. We'll get through it. Not a big deal.
And no matter how big or small they are, they're still always a concern for family.
That's for sure. So, are you off to work this morning, are you?
On the way down to the Michelin test track this morning. I go down there once a month, the first Friday of the month, and service their tools in their service department.
A good one right there, I imagine.
It's been a very productive relationship, let's put it that way.
So, well, I'm off to Home Depot this morning. I'm going to change out a shower head at my house, and then I got a job to go look at in Asheville. But first place is AutoZone, because it's like I blew out a wiper. So I'm limited sight distance this morning.
People out there driving around, especially going up 26. And lots of crazies on that road, and it's raining. So I'm going to say 73s for now. I'm fighting this wind down here. We get both hands back on this steering wheel. KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. Stay safe.
Patrick, have a good one, and drive safely. We'll catch you again. ND7J Mobile.
Ian, mobile and listening.
RJN, I believe it was, KO4HKX. How are you this morning?
That call was Kilo Delta 2, Romeo Kilo November. Not too bad. A little soggy on the way to work this morning. How about yourself?
It's a lot soggy down here.
It's just part of everyday life, I reckon, in the late winter, early spring here in South Carolina is what I've learned.
And probably a little scratchy. I'm down here in these rolling hills on 26 below Greenville and Spartanburg.
Yeah, I'm on 85 heading north.
On this end, I didn't catch your name.
Name here is Jason.
Nice to meet you. I don't think we've spoken before.
Probably not. I ain't been on the radio in about 6 months. I tend to take the hunting season off away from all the radios and just shut them down and just spend my time in the woods and focusing on trying to fill the freezer.
That's something I like to do myself, but I haven't had much luck at it the last couple of years.
Able to harvest one this year. Last year I got three. This year I got one. So we'll be a little short in the venison department in the freezer, but that's okay. We can make do.
At least you got something. Right now mine's empty of venison completely.
Thing right there. That's all I have to say.
And I really hope I can fix that this year. Something I want to really devote my time to.
I really, I enjoy it, you know, and now my kids are starting to enjoy it, and, you know, so it's becoming more of this family thing every year. The older the boys get, you know, the more they want to get into it, so I just take them with me, bundle them up, and let's go.
That's a good thing. Mine just doesn't want anything to do with it. He's 22 years old now and just don't want to touch it.
I never forced my kids to go. I would just go until they started showing interest in it. When they started showing interest was my oldest. He was 8. He wanted to go squirrel hunting. I said, okay, let's go. And you should have seen the grin on his face when he was dragging two of them out of the woods. And then, you know, a few months later, turkey season rolls around. We get him in the woods for turkey hunting, and he just had an absolute ball with that. And, you know, it's evolved into this year will be his first full year of deer hunting with me. So we're excited.
Exciting thing to have, and wish I had more of it, but like I said, mine just never really wanted anything to do with it at all. I'm nothing.
Oh, mine are young, you know, the oldest is 10, and trust me, he's just as happy sitting in front of some kind of screen as he is out in the woods right now, but as long as he gets an appreciation for both, I guess I'm okay with it.
Mine never sat in front of a screen when he was growing up. We didn't allow that, and but now that he's older and out on his own, he does a lot of it. I'm trying to remind him that he needs to get outside and do other things, but you know how they are at 22 years old. They got the world by the tail.
A 10-year-old from time to time.
Just like us, they'll come back around when they get a little older and get a little age on them. They'll realize, that wasn't a good idea.
He's a bookworm, too. He goes through about 2 books a week. And I tell you, sometimes without a library card, I think we'd be financially destroyed just by keeping the kid in books.
A lot of that, too. And you're right. You would go broke if it wasn't for the library card.
Hearing my exit on I-85, so I'm going to say 7-3s to you and have a good day. And I'm driving, and I'm terrible at remembering calls when I'm driving, so I forget your call. But this is KD2RKN. Back to you and out.
Jason, I'm the same way until I've talked to you a couple of times, but I believe it was, I don't even see, I've done forgot it. So KO4HKX, and I'll be clear. Have a good day. 7-3s.